Welcome to IBBA Insights, providing expert advice on buying or selling small businesses. IBBA Insights is presented by the International Business Brokers Association, the world's largest nonprofit organization for those helping others sell or buy businesses. Now, here's your host, Crest Diglio.
Hello, and thank you for downloading today's show. I'm your host, Crest Diglio. I'm happy to be talking with you once again. As always, I want to thank the IBBA for allowing me to create a show by business brokers, for business brokers, and other people involved in the process of buying and selling businesses. Now, the number one question I get on a daily basis from business owners and business brokers is, what's the best way to market today? And inevitably, I laugh. And they're like, why are you laughing? I'm like, well, I don't know. Ask me today, it's one thing. And ask me tomorrow, it seems to be another thing. It just seems like marketing strategies change daily, or the perspective of it changes depending upon who you're talking to. So the only way I know how to do anything in life is if I don't know the answer to the question, I talk to somebody that does. I seek out an expert. So today, I'm going to take you along on my journey to learn more about present-day marketing, or marketing in 2020 and beyond. And before we get started, I want to thank our podcast team member, Neil Isaacs, for introducing me to our guest today, Mr. Luis Suarez. He's the founder and CEO of Tortuga Marketing. It's a digital marketing agency in Raleigh, North Carolina. They specialize in long-term substantial growth strategies. And Luis is a HubSpot marketing specialist, Google AdWords professional, Facebook Blueprint certified, Bing Ads certified, along with all of his team members. Now, Luis is originally from Matamoros, Mexico, and he grew up in Johnson County, North Carolina, and currently resides in Raleigh, North Carolina. So Luis, at this time, I want to thank you for joining our show, taking time out of your busy schedule and your willingness to share your incredible knowledge with our audience. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me and the very detailed, kind introduction. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, they have to know who we're talking to. And you came so highly qualified, and I did my research on you. I was very impressed as far as what you're doing in the marketplace today, especially within our industry and people that touch our industry. So I had to have you on. So I'm very thankful for you saying yes.
Thank you, Crest. Thanks for having me.
So before we get started, I do have to ask you this. You know, you have I'm from an Italian background, and I love the food that my family makes. And I know you were originally from Mexico and have such wonderful cuisine. But in what I read about you, you absolutely love the cuisine in the South. Chicken, barbecue, hush puppies.
Oh, so yeah. Yeah,
you can't beat that.
I mean, you can never go wrong with tacos. I feel like I just grew up that being sort of the staple, right? It's like a good old peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Like, you cannot not have tacos. but if I had a choice, there's just something about, you know, Southern comfort food that's just so amazing. A little bit of sweet tea, some hush puppies, fried chicken. That's a good day for me.
I lived in a little town called Monroe, Georgia for about 7 years. When I first was in Monroe, I had a very thick New York accent. And 6 years later, when I moved from Monroe to Orlando, I was talking like this, and my friends were making fun of me. But I mean, I was in the deep South. I mean, as deep as you could get. So it's funny. But I did too learn to fall in love with the food. But to me, there was still nothing like my mother's spaghetti and meatballs or linguine and clam sauce. But yes, the Southern food is very comforting.
Absolutely. You're right. Nothing beats mom's cooking. But yeah, I'm right there with you.
All right. So what does that have to do with marketing? Nothing. But you know what? I had to ask because food is a passion of mine. And I saw that on your bio. So we'll jump into this now. So talk to us a little bit about how you got into digital marketing and ultimately starting your company at such a young age.
Well, I'll kind of tie it into the conversation we're just having, because to an extent, it does have to do with how Tortuga was created and why the name. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, the word Tortuga is Spanish for turtle. Growing up as son of an immigrant family, when we moved here, it was very challenging. You know, the first priority was learning the language for all of us. As a kid growing up here, I mean, I came here very young, so it was really easy for me to pick it up. It was a little bit more of a challenge for my parents. And so I was constantly translating, you know, between the teachers, the doctors, you know, people at the grocery store. I was translating for my parents at the early years. fast forward to, you know, when I started my professional career and I started doing sales, I noticed that it was a very similar relationship between brands or businesses and their clients and their customers. It's almost like each of them spoke a different language. And so I was like, huh, I'm used to this. This is something I grew up around. They're all trying to get to the same overall objective. The business is trying to provide value for the client. The client is looking for that solution, but they just speak different languages. And so, you know, I thought, you know, marketing would be the best way where I can make a difference and help connect the two and bridge that communication barrier, so to speak. So that's where the whole, you know, marketing side came from. I started my career in marketing through e-commerce for an office supply business. And then from there, just one thing led to another. I really loved what I was doing. I realized I'd found a passion, and I just really wanted to do it for myself and help a variety of different businesses and brands connect to their target audience. So that's where that came from. And then the turtle is simply because, you know, I'm sure everybody else is familiar with this, but in today's world, there's a lot of marketers who claim that they know the secrets to getting leads, and, you know, they can help your business be very successful. And unfortunately, most of them are not true. There's no secret sauce. There's no overnight success. Turtles are slow. Turtles are slow, but they're consistent and stubborn, and they get to where they need to go. Fast forward to today. Now it's Tortuga Marketing. So we're a content marketing agency, and we help, you know, brands connect with their target audience by adding value and creating content around specific problems, so that when the customer is looking for those solutions, they'll find your brand.
Well, let's talk about that for a little bit. So our audience is comprised mainly of business brokers, specifically through the IBBA and the M&A Source. We also have business professionals and people that are looking to buy or sell businesses. And as you mentioned, everyone wants to know, what's the secret sauce when it comes to marketing? So I want to talk, I know that, what's the secret sauce, you know, just so it can happen, boof, like that overnight. And we know, you know, slow and go is the way to go, but how do you get there? So everyone wants to know, you know, what works today, and what maybe also that you people were once doing doesn't really want to work anymore, and what will get someone really to the top of the search engines if that's what they're looking to do?
It's a good question. I think one of the biggest things to realize as the times progress is that people are being less and less reactive, especially the newer generations. I mean, with the internet now, everything is based on information. If you are going to look for someone to sell your business, or if you're going to look for the best grocery store to go to or massage place, like, you're going to do your research first. You're going to go to Google, you're going to ask your friends, and you're going to do your homework, because the information is there. You know, back in the day, you didn't have that choice, right? So you would, you know, pick up a phone book or ask your mom or your uncle where they would recommend. We didn't have that luxury. So now we do. And I think prior to starting the podcast, we were just having a conversation about how marketing changes every single day. And that's true. But I think the one thing that's going to be consistent for a long time, if not ever, is the fact that the companies that are providing value and genuine, you know, resourceful information to their target audience, those are the ones that are going to succeed. The how might change, right? Social media might be different. SEO might be different, but as long as your company and you're providing value to your end user, then you'll be okay. That's kind of the premise of what we've been doing. You know, with Neil, you mentioned Neil, a business broker here in Raleigh, North Carolina, is that we listened to him, we sat down and we learned about his business and all of the different efforts he's tried, and he's done it all. He's definitely done his due diligence with the mailers, with the cold calling, with everything. But at the end of the day, we were able to figure out that everybody who wants to sell their business has a couple of core things that they're trying to solve. Either there's been a change in their lifestyle, or there, you know, is something going on within the business. They need to go. They're getting old. They want to retire. There's only a handful of options. And they don't know what to do. They don't know what solutions are available. And I think and that's where Neil has been really successful, by focusing on creating content and educating them on all of their options. So it's less about talking about why you should hire me and I'm the only option. And instead, it you have to get people to recognize you for an industry leader, and you're the person who's going to provide the right guidance on what the next step should be for you.
I've got a question for you, because this is something that I've thought long and hard about, and so often, because and depending on what platform I'm on, whether it's Twitter or LinkedIn or however anyone's getting the information out there, and the followers and the people I follow or the people that maybe follow me, I look at some people in our industry and I call it the look at me person, right? Mm-hmm. I just did this. I just listed that. I'm the greatest. Me, how great they are, right? And I would imagine that plays out to a certain audience. But then I also look at other people that they really never talk about themselves, but they're providing such great content, whether it be to the attorneys or the CPAs or buyers and sellers, and just good information. And I tend to look and follow those people a lot more often and see what they have to say, because they're giving me information that's good for me. But what is your advice on that? I mean, is there a place for the look at me, or really is it more important to provide content if your goal is to have more people look in your direction as a trusted advisor or someone to go to or someone to listen to?
I do think there is a place for the look at me people, as you call them. but like everything in life, there's got to be a balance, right? So we have a system we use, and it's not proprietary to us. There are, there's a couple of different variations of it you can find on the internet. But if you search for something called the buyer's journey, it's a process that we live by when creating content. Everyone's familiar with a funnel, right? Like what you use to put oil in your car. it's big at the top and it's very narrow at the bottom. And so our buyer's journey is basically a graphic that depicts a funnel broken up into stages. The number of stages can change, but the premise remains the same. At the top of the funnel, where you get a lot of the space, that's the first step. We call that the unaware stage. So that's when, if we're talking about business brokers specifically, if someone's looking to sell their business, when they're in the unaware stage, they actually don't even know they're going to sell their business yet. So for example, if someone's looking to retire, in this stage, that individual would probably be starting to realize that they're maybe having health problems or they can't keep up as much, but they haven't connected the dots. They don't know that selling the business is the choice or the solution. They're just living life and experiencing problems that other people who sold their businesses started to experience. And then as you move further down the funnel to the very, very narrow, to the bottom part of the funnel, that's where we would consider like the final stage, the most aware stage. And that's where you really get to talk about yourself and your company. So that's testimonials, reviews and videos like that online. Those are the me people. And in relation to the funnel, you should have a pinch of your content every month should be about you. Whereas at the top of the funnel, most of your content should be adding value and giving people options and choices for how to solve their problems. And as you move further along, like it becomes more and more geared towards ultimately selling your business, but you can't just start by talking about why you should sell your business. I see this all the time. Even with other business brokers too, all they post about is just, why you should sell your business. But most of their market, 80% of their target audience doesn't even know that that's the solution yet. So you have to kind of warm them up to that.
You mentioned earlier about differentiating yourself from others or your competition. How, as a marketing company, how do you help your client differentiate themselves from the competition, from the other people that are out there?
There's a couple of different ways. And since we're talking about brokers, I think finding a good business broker is a little bit like finding a good attorney, a good real estate agent, almost a good therapist as well. And so personality is going to play a big role in differentiating yourself as a business broker. There's a lot of brokers that do their process the same. So what makes one better than the other? I like to say it might not necessarily mean they're better, but nobody is like you. So just making more of an effort to showcase who you are as a person, what will help you set you apart from the competition. With Neil specifically, for example, at the top of the funnel, at the beginning of the buyer's journey, a lot of the content he put out initially was around the fact that he used to be a shark diver at the Ripley's Aquarium. you know, that's pretty unique, and that's going to resonate with a handful of people. And they're going to, you know, they're going to think, wow, this Neil guy seems pretty cool, as opposed to this other guy who we know nothing about.
That is definitely an interesting story and something to share. And it gets people's attention in the beginning, which is really important. I often say, if you can't differentiate yourself from your competition, you're ultimately going to wind up competing on price, and then nobody wins. So and then if you can differentiate yourself from somebody else and you bring so much value, then sometimes price doesn't really matter. It's not the final decision. Price always matters, but it's not the final decision.
It's not. Absolutely. You're right. And you never want to lead by price either. I know, you know, a lot of us hear that all the time. You never want to lead with price being your number one value proposition, because it doesn't give you much wiggle room.
No, when we're selling a business, first thing a buyer asks is, you know, the question when they call, they don't even ask anything about the business. Will they take less? So we jokingly say, I don't know, will you pay more? it's really not the place to start. Let's learn a little bit about what we're talking about first.
Absolutely. And the cool thing about the buyer's journey too, and following, you know, what's considered more of a content marketing approach, and creating content at each stage, is that by the time they get to the point where they call you, the relationship is almost already there. It's really interesting to see this as a person who's done a lot of cold calling myself. You know, the quality of a prospect from a cold call versus an inbound effort like content marketing, when they call you, it is night and day. You know, these people pick up the phone and email you having already watched several of your videos and read several of your blogs, or in this case, you know, we're doing a podcast. You could do a podcast as well. They already know who you are.
21 years ago, when I got in this business, when someone would call me and I would go out and meet with them, that was the first they were hearing from me. Nowadays, if they're calling me, they're only calling me because they found out about me and they feel comfortable enough to meet with me. So it's a complete opposite way than it was when I first started in this business.
Exactly. And then, you know, that just shows how the times are changing. It's really interesting. The other day, I can't remember specifically what it was, but here at the office, there was a thing where somebody had to call someone, and it was like playing a game of chicken. Nobody wanted to pick up the phone and call. You know, just new generations they want to avoid the phone until it's the ultimate last resort. And they've already done their due diligence and they know they have to pick up the phone.
But you have to know your audience also, because a lot of times in our business, especially some of the larger companies we're dealing with, it is sometimes still the older generation that still appreciates the phone call and everything else that goes along with it. So you have to adapt with the times, but you have to still be aware of your audience.
I think of it as investing a little bit. You know, you do want to have most of your money in, you know, reputable investments, tried and true methods. You know, but if you're not taking a percentage and investing it in, you know, greater risk, higher return things, you're never really, you're not giving yourself the chance to go big. And so, in order to keep up with the times, a lot of our clients, a lot of people we work with and talk to, you know, they'll consistently market to their target audience, but then take 10 to 20% of their efforts towards marketing to the next generation. So they're always ahead of the competition. Because it's not going to be overnight when people notice a switch or a change. It's going to be gradual. And the people who already made, efforts in that direction are the ones that are going to get to reap the benefits. It's like planting a tree. What's the saying? I think the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago, and the second best time is now.
Yeah, for sure. If you're not doing something or you haven't done anything, your results are going to be the same. You're going to get nothing. So mm-hmm. I heard someone tell me the other day, well, it's too late for me to start. I'm like, well, then you might as well just stop.
That's a good answer.
All right. So earlier you mentioned video. So talk to me today, in today's digital marketing or today's marketing and online marketing and the platforms that are going on. How important is video, and what is, how does it tie in with the algorithms that all the search engines are looking for when it comes to search engine optimization? How important is video today?
I feel like we've definitely moved past the point where people are wondering if they should be doing video. I mean, we definitely still have people who aren't doing it, and that's okay. But right now, every social media platform that exists online, even search engines, they're all prioritizing video as the medium of choice. I think there's a couple of different reasons for it. But the main one's just attention. You know, attention spans are changing. People are doing a lot more. They're multitasking, you know, and unfortunately, even while you're driving, like a lot of people aren't even looking at what's ahead of them. But in general, people are juggling a dozen different tasks. They're doing a bunch of different things. And so our attention spans have definitely shortened. Video is a really great way to catch your attention. I will sit down and watch a 1 to 2 minute video several times throughout the day. But if I see a great blog article that I want to read, I'll save it and then try to remember to read it later. You know, I still do, but it's not something that I can just consume quickly like that. And I think that's why video is so powerful. You mentioned the algorithms and everything. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this too, but every social media channel is different. But when you make a post, let's just use Facebook because Facebook has been around for a little while. If you make a post on Facebook and you have 1,000 followers, a lot of people don't realize that your 1,000 followers don't see your post. When you make a post on Facebook, Facebook will only show it to a very small segment of your follower base. And depending on how they react to the post, then they'll continue to show it to more and more of your following. So just because you have 1,000 followers doesn't actually mean you're going to get 1,000 eyeballs on your post. And so this is why video is so important. When you post a video, it's a lot easier and a lot more probable that people will sit down and watch a few seconds of it and tell, you know, the Facebook algorithm that this is great content. You should show it to more of my people.
Well, give us a couple of the top tips to video. Too long, too short. What should we focus on when we're doing video?
Well, I think there's two things. I think if you're already doing video, I would try to do a quick audit on what you're doing and see if you're following the generic buyer's journey. Again, it's something you can search on Google and find. Make sure that you're creating video proportionally in the right stages. You know, video content is time consuming. It does take time to make, and you want to make sure you're placing your bets correctly and you're putting it in the right spot. So that would be one. But if you're not doing content, if you're not doing video at all, a couple of tips I would have is just get started. It doesn't have to be professional video. You know, if you just do an experiment over the next 30 days where every other day you upload a quick cell phone selfie style, just like a quick vertical video post of you saying what happened today, what lesson you learned, quote of the day, you will see how your social media channel will substantially increase in those 30 days.
You said, and I don't want to cut you off, but you said quickly. Now, I know people that quickly means 5 seconds, and I know someone that quickly means 10 minutes. So what is your definition of quickly, or how, you know, the time frame that these videos should be before you're losing someone's attention?
It depends on the channel. It depends on the platform. But if we're talking just a simple social media style video, like on Instagram and Facebook, I'd keep it under 3 minutes. Keep it short and sweet. 1 to 3 minutes is long enough to just deliver a quick memo. And I would just think of it as a quick memo. And you can post it directly to your account, to Instagram, to Facebook. Stories are huge. If you're not familiar with that, the posts are the ones where you know, you take a video or you take a picture and you post it and it's there forever. People can find it. Whereas a story is more of a fleeting comment. Like you make the quick video, you post it, and people can see it for the next 24 hours, but then it goes away. The reason why they're so important, and it can kind of seem weird, like why would I post a video if it's going to go away? It's really important because, again, it's that bite-sized, you know, information that can deliver a quick message, get people to say, huh, interesting. They'll throw you a like, engage with you, and all of this just feeds the algorithm.
I'd like your opinion on Twitter and other platforms where people can express their opinions, but once you express them, you can't really take them back. And we live in a society right now, love him or hate him, President Trump, you know where he stands and what he says, because he says it often, says it loud, and doesn't take it back. And again, as a business broker or a business professional, if I'm out there, what are some of the things I should be cautious of? Or what are some of the rules I should live by when it comes to posting things on those platforms?
That's a good question. And Neil, if Neil is listening to this episode, this will hit home. This is definitely, you know, things that have come up, not just with Neil, but in general with clients, things do come up. We live in a world where people get easily offended and people take things the wrong way all the time, even if you have great intentions. So for that reason alone, I would say to try not to overthink it, because chances are, even if you're perfect and you don't mean to say anything offensive, you know, it might still happen. So the only thing that I would comment regarding that would be to just make sure that your brand messaging is figured out. Like, you know exactly who you are and what you represent and how your personality is going to reflect on the business side. You know, obviously I feel like we tone down our personalities a little bit for business, and that's probably a good thing. Sure. But just make sure you're well aware of what that personality is, who that looks like, and the things you say, you know, before you post something. Just take 2 seconds to think, does this reflect my brand, my personality? Like the Trump tweets that you mentioned, you know, a lot of times they're controversial and people definitely pick on him for that. But I bet he doesn't care. I bet it's all part of his brand, so to speak.
Well, think about it. He's 50% liked, 50% hated. But in our business, we don't want to be somewhere in the middle. We want the majority of the people that we're trying to do business with to resonate with us and be like, yeah, that's the person I'd like to do business with. You're never going to make everybody happy.
Correct.
But, you know, I think you just got to be cautious. So how important is it, if at all, to separate business from personal? Or can they intertwine, or should they intertwine?
I think there's something to be said about authenticity. Within reason. So, for example, if you're a snowboarder at heart and all you like to do at home is just, you know, do stuff like that, and you like to go out, you're a hiker, you wouldn't show up at the office dressed like that, right? But you would, you know, at the office talk to people about your adventures and the things that you do, because it's who you are. It kind of defines you as a person. So one thing where real estate agents, brokers, attorneys, you know, people that live in such or operate in such, I can't think of the word for it, but you know, these industries are very regulated. There's a lot that you can do. There's a lot that you can't do. I think it's very, very important to highlight your personality as one of the value propositions, right? Assuming you're not a bad person. You know, you don't want to broadcast that if you are, but people can tell, you know, everything is public now. Information is everywhere. People can tell if you're genuine or not. And I think people love seeing who you really are online, within reason. So it's really hard to answer, because I'm not saying that you should talk about your divorce or things that are happening in your personal life. But you can open the door a little bit and have people take a peek. And I think that that'll help you connect with your target audience even better.
So mentioning my family vacation might be okay, but 500 pictures might not be.
Absolutely. There you go.
I got to touch on one or two more things before we come to an end that I think are important. So yeah, a lot of us are out there and we're looking at hiring companies, and unfortunately for us, but fortunately for you, not everyone in your industry is as respected and as knowledgeable and as trustworthy as you are. So when people are looking at companies to hire, what type questions should we be asking, and what should we be looking for in a marketing company?
I wish more people did this. Unfortunately, people tend to go with a first or second option just because it's kind of a pain. It's a little bit of a pain to have to search for a good marketing agency, and then the onboarding process takes a while. I would say before you reach out, figure out what you want. Get your budget, your goals and objectives down so that you know exactly how to answer some of those questions. That's going to save a ton of time. Once you know exactly what you want and what you expect from a marketing team, then I would start by looking at the industry specialists. Again, we live in an information age. Everything is searchable. You can find anything you're looking for. If you're an aquarium guy and you sell aquariums, I would start by looking at marketing agencies that specialize in that. And then always ask for case studies, examples, and references. Not enough people do that. I always get really excited when they do, because I have plenty to share. And I know those customers will speak very highly of us, and it'll be a good reflection of what we do, but not a lot of people ask. I feel like a lot of people think it's rude or it's an inconvenience or something, but definitely ask for references and case studies and whatnot.
People ask us that before they allow us to market or list their business.
Absolutely.
And marketing agencies or companies like yours, regardless of what your budget is, it's a lot of money to you to spend. So you should spend it wisely. So that's very good advice. And I do appreciate you sharing that with us. So we're coming to the end, but I've got one more thing I want to ask. Actually, two more things. First is, what are the top three things or the top things that I should be doing on a daily basis, or which should be important as far as within my marketing efforts?
I'm going to say two, because there's two that I really preach all the time. One is figure out exactly who your people are. So a lot of brokers don't do this, but as a business broker, you shouldn't go out there and say, I help people sell a business, all businesses. That's not, you know, it's not really easy to compete at that point. Find a tribe or a group of people that you really connect with and figure out who those are. So it might be people ready to retire. It might be people who need to move or something along those lines. So find your specialty. And then two, figure out how you can add value. So let's just say if you decide to go down, you know, if you decide to do people who are ready to retire, then the value and the solutions that you would bring are retirement options. So don't just talk about selling the business. You know, what else can they do? And don't be afraid to talk about those things.
So my blogs, my posts, my videos on a daily basis, however often I'm doing, they should be geared towards those things that you've just mentioned?
Absolutely.
Okay. The last takeaway from this call and from this interview would be, what advice would you have for business brokers or business owners that are very active with their marketing, or those that have just not started and feel, oh my God, it's overwhelming. What do I do? What advice would you have for our audience?
I think at the end of the day, if you're already marketing, then keep doing what you're doing. Hopefully it's working. If you're not, don't worry about the details so much. I think a lot of people get hung up on doing it perfect and doing it well. I know this doesn't work for everybody, but I say this all the time. I do believe that done is better than perfect in most cases, as long as you don't forget to come back and like clean up the details. But a lot of people fail to get started because they don't feel like they have every little thing in place. And it's just very unfortunate because they have so much value and so many things to say, and they just don't say it. So that's my one piece of advice. If you're looking at doing something, starting a new marketing campaign, or if you're looking at getting started in content in general, just get started the best you can and continue to improve.
Thank you for that. We've been talking to Luis Suarez, the founder and CEO of Tortuga Marketing, and he shared so much information with us. And you probably have now more questions than maybe answers, which is good because it stimulated your thought process in your mind in the direction of, maybe I should be doing this, or what about this? So Luis, for those people that have these questions and potentially could utilize your services, what is the best way to get in contact with you?
The best bet would be on social media. I, as well as my team, are always on top of it, making sure we respond to every comment, every message. So you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. It's always at Tortuga Marketing.
And can you spell Tortuga for the audience?
It's Tortuga and Marketing.
I wish I had another hour to talk to you, because then we could just get started on the things I'd love to ask. But, you know, unfortunately, we are out of time. And I do want to thank you so much, so much for taking time out of your schedule, because I know you're a busy guy, and sharing with our audience the things that you shared. So I wish you continued success and all the great things that continue to come your way. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, you got a lot of information today, and I hope it was worthwhile to you. That's what we attempt to do on this show since its inception, you know, bring you information that could help you in your business and your practice, not to promote myself or my practice or anything else that's out there, but really just give you good content. That's what the IBBA is wanting to do. Give you information that you could use in your day-to-day lives, your day-to-day business, and be beneficial to you and your business. So I hope you enjoyed today's show and learned something that you'll use will make you money, and you'll tell your friends and colleagues, family members to listen to our show. For more information about the show, you can go to idba.org. You can download the other episodes in case you missed them and hear great content like we got, well, like we got today. Again, thank you to Luis Suarez from Tortuga Marketing. It was a great show. I enjoyed it. I got a lot out of it. Thank you for taking time out of your life to listen to our show. Now go enjoy the rest of your day. I'm your host, Chris Diglio, and I look forward to talking to you again.